I especially want to encourage you men to get signed up for Man of God meeting coming up in just a couple weeks. And the sign-up sheet's out there. Men, we need to be together and share together and grow by the grace of God. But sometimes I feel like I'm leaving the ladies out. I don't want to do that. You ladies are so important. So I asked T.D. Jakes, I said, have you got anything you could say for the ladies? Because you're always talking about the men. And so he's going to stop by for just a minute and say something to the ladies and then to the men. So let it roll, and ladies, you'll be blessed. Can you back up just a little bit? Now, I didn't back that up quite far enough. He said when the men pray, men kind of say, well, Lord, bless TD, and say a few words. But when women pray, they really get to it. They go after it. Ladies, thank you for your prayer. Amen. I'd like to hear the men, a strong amen from our men. Thank God for our ladies that press in and pray the way they do. And men, I want to encourage you to be thankful for the gift that God has given you in the fellowship that we have in the family, in the fellowship in your home, and for the gift that that dear lady is in your life. So I also want to encourage you to realize that the power of what happens when men get together. And listen, there's no unimportant children in the family of God. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to gather us together. We've been gathering together 70, 80, 100 men. And I want to encourage you to plan to be with us for our next meeting. And T.D. is going to speak just a little bit. I'm going to cut this a little bit shorter. I want to go to the part where he says the most dangerous man is a man without vision. If we could roll that next, that would be great. Okay.
And then you look in the mirror and you see time scratching lines on your face. And you say, I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. I gotta hurry. I gotta hurry. I gotta get there. I'm running out of time. I gotta get there. I gotta score before the game is over. I gotta leave my mark in the earth. I gotta let my kids know that God was with me when I passed through this way. Sometimes the woman doesn't know why you can't stop, but there's something inside pulling you. She says, sit down and get some rest. It don't take all that. It's not necessary. This is good enough. But if you're a child of destiny, you are taunted by the place. Somebody call out, I gotta get there.
I get there.
I gotta get there. I gotta get there. Is there anybody here that's got to get there? I got to get there. I thank God that I got a there to get to. Because that's what separates lost men from found men, is that when men are lost, they have no there. But when God finds you, he puts a there in your spirit. And that's why you say to the drug dealer and to the craziness and tied to, can't stay with him, gotta go. I'm headed for Africa, I gotta get there. It's not that you're so holy. It's not that you're so good. You gotta have something waved in front of you. A carrot in front of you. A dream. A vision. A push. A goal. There is nothing as dangerous as a man who's lost his vision.
Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is going to awaken Christian men with vision and the reality of what it is. Vision means understanding. I know what's going on. I understand the times I live in. And I want to encourage you about that. One of the things I like about T.D. Jakes, he's very animated, but that's not hype. There's passion. And it pours out in his person of seeing people set free, seeing people delivered. That's what I identify with. I identify with passion in people that have a heart for the Lord and a heart for people. I could care less about hype because that's just excitement. That'll pass away. But when you get a sense of expectancy of what God wants to do, that comes alive in your spirit. And men, I want to encourage you to be there and that we can grow by the grace of God. I want us to understand the times that we live in today and not be overcome by all the things we see in the world, but know that we can overcome the world. If you don't conquer the culture will conquer you. And that starts inside of us, each one of us knowing our part of what God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. So I pray the Holy Spirit can make that real to you today and that God can help you to be able to see what he can do. One of the things that I want to talk to you about today is protection from deception, because there's a lot of that in the world and we see it all the time right now in what's happening in the political arena, what's happening around the world and even in the church. But we need to be able to see the protection from deception is the proof of the truth of what God does by his word working in people who know and love the Lord and live out that love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. But see, we got to be careful that we're not in love with what we are or we'll never become all that God intends. We have to understand the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and our lives so that we can see how to deal with problems instead of letting problems deal with us. Matter of fact, there's one thing I'd like to break and make by the power of the Spirit. I'd like to break the 80-20 rule, and that's where most people spend 80% of their time working on a problem and 20% on a solution. We need to turn that around, and especially as Christian people. Spend about 20% of your time and effort on the problem, and about 80% of finding the solution that God speaks by his Spirit in the Word. Amen? Just think about how that would be when you pray if you would spend 80% of your time focusing on the solution that God has for us. And I promise you it's there. It's in the book. You just need to take a look. And God will help us to be able to see what he can do in this day and hour. But the enemy of our soul, the thing he desires most of all, is to destroy relationships. The thing he hates most about what we can do in relating to the Lord or even to one another, he must break those things. But relationships are the only thing that are going to last in this life. And so he's going to do everything he can to break the heart of the Lord by breaking relationships and hearts and homes. Relationships are like bridges. You have to be able to build them intentionally. They carry a lot of weight, and they're often weakened by stress. So we have to find the strength that the Spirit of God gives us. There's so much brokenness in our nation today, in our community, and God by the Spirit wants to heal that. And the only hope of that is what happens in the church. So walk with me in the Word today in Matthew chapter 24. I want you to hear the words of our Lord in the day that he is about to go away and leave this earth and put the disciples in charge and establish the second body of Christ, his church. In Matthew chapter 24, it said he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and this is verse 3, Matthew 24, verse 3, he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the world? And Jesus said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. Now, that deception works so strong in our culture today, we don't even see it. Matter of fact, we're all deceived just in different places. That's why we need one another. That's why we're to gather together unto Him. And we're to care and protect in what God wants to do, in His purpose in our lives. Now, it's very important that we understand the day and hour that we live in. Would you just say this after me? Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. That's why they call it a present. You see, if we don't understand today what God's doing, we can be absorbed about what happened in the past or wondering what's going to happen in the future and miss what God is speaking by His Spirit right now. You could miss the moment. Matter of fact, there are millions of people that will gather today in church services and hear something in their spirit, but unless they do something with it, it will amount to nothing. We have to come to the point of understanding the present of what God gives through His Word and understand what to do with it, and that our words are important too, not just for communication, but for creation. That our words really do create something of an atmosphere in this world that makes a difference. It's something about the fact that we have to create our own world. And you create your world by your words more than you know. How many have ever been around a grumpy person? Boy, I want to tell you, that creates an atmosphere in a hurry. But if you've been around a joyful person that just has that joy that almost irritates you, but all of a sudden it begins to lift you. Why, they're creating something. There's something in that person of a creative force that comes out. And I believe the Spirit of God wants that to be in the church today. If you want the benefit of joy and peace and all of that, you have to understand the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Now, Satan really has no power at all. He can't manufacture. He can't create. All he can do is imitate. He wants to, so many times, imitate what God does, but he doesn't do well with that. He tries to get us to buy into that. But you see, When we look at what God can do, God can look at nothing, and He can make anything He wants. Whatever God says will be because of the power of His Word, because it's creative. And that's why, you know, God's very careful about what He says. What He speaks by His Spirit comes into being. He spoke this world into being by His Word. This world is kept by the Word. The understanding that one day He will give the Word and this world will end. But we must see that Satan is one that takes something and tries to make it nothing. He turned angels into demons, sons and daughters into evolutionary monkeys that don't understand their creator. And God, by the power of the Spirit, so wants to awaken our heart. He's the master of disaster, and God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants us to be able to see beyond all the deception that's in the world today. And that comes through the eyes of the Spirit. That comes through what is talked about in the book of Ephesians, that He touches the eyes of our understanding, that He begins to reveal so we can see what He's saying and then walk it out in this life in a way that makes a difference. You know, one of the people I always identify with in Scripture that was always trying to respond to the Lord and help the Lord out and do things for Him is Peter. Peter's one of my favorite people in the Bible because he tried hard and many times failed, but he never quit. He never gave up. And so he just kept going, and he stumbled and fumbled and failed many times. But God worked with him. But you see, you'll find in Luke chapter 22, there's a point where Jesus says to Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith might remain, that you might strengthen the brethren. And there's a lot being said in those words. First of all, Satan would like to sift every person. When you sift something, you shake it. And you shake and get all the good out of it and just leave the lumps. Now, Satan, he will shake out all the good. And he will leave you with all the lumps in life. He will not want you to have any good thing. He wants to steal, kill, destroy everything about relationships. That's what he really wants. Because if he can destroy relationships, he can make you the most miserable person. You'll never have vision without it incorporating. If it's a God-given vision, it's always going to involve really loving the Lord and loving people. And Satan must break that because the power of that love will cast out fear, and we can function in the kind of faith that lets us have fellowship one with another and love one another. And that's what the enemy fears the most. But Peter, when he was talking to him, and sharing with him about this, I said, I prayed that your faith would remain. I can remember a time when I was at City of Faith at ORU, and Oral Roberts was still functioning with that, and the City of Faith was doing so well at that time, and they established that great hospital. I went out there at that time. I was having problems with my heart, and so I went there to see if they could figure out what was going on and how they could work with that. But I remember being in a room the night before I was to go to the doctor and go through the City of Faith, and I struggled there, and I fought a battle all night. And in the midst of that battle, I come to be reminded again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And to really understand something of the battle that was going on had more to do with my spiritual heart than it did my physical heart. Though I needed to take care of that and I needed to be wise, there's another kind of battle that goes on. And as I battle that through, I remember the Holy Spirit touching my heart in such a deep way. And that scripture came to me. That very scripture of what he said to Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith might remain. And I remember the Holy Spirit of God saying something to me at that time. And it so spoke to my heart that I've never forgotten, and it's as fresh right now as the moment that he spoke it, of asking me to do something for him. And I said, Lord, I'd do anything. And he said, then you pray for me. And I said, how do I pray for you? You pray for my church. You pray for my people, because that is my body. And there's something about the connection that must happen today. If we're going to get clear direction and defeat what the devil really wants to do, we're going to have to get a clear view of what the church is and who we are as the body of Jesus Christ in this day and hour. Because if we don't get that clear, we'll never understand that the devil understands better than we do that Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he wants to come against that. And the way he breaks that is by breaking relationships. He wants us to be able to get to the point that we understand something of the fact that we press through, and Jesus will always help us to, because he stands at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession. And I would like to say for each one of you today that as much as he said to Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith might remain, that whatever is happening to you, whatever you're going through, I prayed for you that your faith will remain. And it's not about your condition. It's about your position as my child, my son, my daughter. Because if you look at your condition, you will not understand your power and position as a son or daughter of the Most High God. Because you'll look at your condition and you'll begin to qualify yourself according to that rather than who you are. You'll look at what you can do or what's happening to you. And the Spirit of God wants to raise you up above that. He wants to give you an understanding. And listen, it's not fantasy. It's real faith. It's an understanding of what God can do by the power of the Holy Spirit. But see, it's always a bigger deal than just you or me. He said, Peter, I'm going to do this. And after you've gone through this, you're going to strengthen the brethren. Peter, there's a bigger picture that I've got here that I want you to be able to see. That it's not just about what I'm going to do for you, but you're going to come out of this. On the other side of this, it's going to make a great difference. Now, this becomes the man who stands on the day of Pentecost and preaches a three-minute sermon, and 3,000 souls come into the kingdom, knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. He's the man that walks down the street and his shadow falls on people and they're healed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He strengthened the brethren in their understanding of going through those struggles. Of all of his fumbling and failing, he kept getting up and going. And God's grace wants us to understand that he'll do the same this day. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I said earlier, Satan's a headhunter. He'll always mess with your head. The distance from heaven to hell is 18 inches, here to here. And we need to understand how it is that we live out this relationship with the Lord. And the enemy is always going to want to sift you. But I've got a great word for you. If we understand the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we get to sift Satan. We get to be able to leave him with all the lumps. We get to come to the point we can shake hell and see what God will do. And listen, before that shaking is through, you will find out that there's a lot of things that hit you and there'll be some suffering. But listen, push on through and see what God can do, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're going to have a breakthrough, and you may think you're going to have a breakdown, but I promise you, if you'll press through, the blessing of the Lord will come to you. Let that work in your heart and in your life. You'll see what God can do by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we look at this and see what God wants to do in this day and how he wants to help us to press in and to pray, we need to know we have no power to overcome the deceiver. And we can't deceive him, because we walk and operate in the truth of God. But when we walk in that truth and that understanding, we know we have an enemy that's a master transformer. He's the master chameleon. As a matter of fact, he deceives the nations of the world. The scripture even says the whole world is something that is in the hands of the wicked one. But in the mix of that, we have the light of God's love. We have the power of the one that created the world and the universe, and we have the power of the one that defeated death, hell, and the grave. Now, all of this came about, the system that's in place today as far as Satan's concerned, we gave it to him. And he has a whole structure that's there, and you can read about it in Ephesians 6, 11, and 12. But a lot of Christians today, they like the dessert of the word, but we really need the meat to get down to what God has to say if we're going to be strong in this day. Now, how many of you like dessert? I really do. How many of you like the blessing of the Lord where God just blesses you and it's all, and just, oh gosh, you know, and it's so great. I just enjoy that. And I think we have to understand there are times for that. But there's other times that you're going to have to stand and find the strength of the Lord and know the power of God and know what he can do. And it's not going to be circumstantial. You're going to have to understand the power of the promise and the one that made the promise if you're going to follow through and do what he desires. It's going to be the time when the blessings are not apparent, but we're going to be able to do the will of the living God. We'll understand that meat, that strength that God will give. You see, the devil only ducks and distances himself when you declare who you are. It is written. I want to tell you, one of my delights sometimes when I don't feel too good about myself is to be able to say, it is written, I'm a son of God. Can I tell you honestly, I know what I'm not. I don't need anybody and I don't need the devil to tell me what I'm not. I need the Lord to tell me what I am in Christ. Amen? And see, there's so many things that way they'll try to put you down, and God wants to lift you up. He wants to love you and help you and hold you. And he'll come and convict you when there needs to be some correction, but he'll never condemn you. And listen, we need to understand the creative power of what happens when you and I say, it is written. What happens when you have a disagreement at home as husband and wife, and all of a sudden there's disrespect that's happening between the two of you? You need to come back and say, it is written. A husband needs to be able to think of what the Bible really means when it says, husbands, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. How serious is this? Husbands, listen, it's Peter, the most rambunctious of all, that says, you honor your wife or you show respect or the Lord will cut your prayers off. He won't listen to you. Don't think you can talk one way in the home and talk to one another one way and then come and talk nice to the Lord. He won't listen to that. He wants us to take it so serious. I'll tell you, it'd be a marvelous thing if you got halfway through an argument and all of a sudden one of you could say, it is written, and this is not it. And you understand that even if you can't quote the scripture, you know it's in the book. There's something that happens in your spirit. That's that understanding that God wants to give you when you look at that neighbor next door that you can't stand and you get an attitude about them. And all of a sudden it springs up in your heart. It is written. At those times when you're so depressed and you're so down, you're so discouraged and you're putting yourself down and you understand it is written. And there's something there that's written in the word that will lift you up. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. He's the one that caused you to begin to read a different page in life, a different chapter, and understand the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that can come upon you. Listen, dear church, I'm not talking about hype. I feel about as unspiritual as you do sometimes, but I want to tell you, God never changes. He's feeling mighty fine all the time. Amen? And when I speak to you right now, I'm not speaking out of hype. I'm speaking out of a passion of the person of Jesus Christ that works in our hearts and our lives to give us a way of life. It's a new and living way, and we can walk in it. But we have to know what's written because that's the pathway of life. When we begin to see that, I want to encourage you, men, not only let the Lord write something, you write something. Isn't it a marvelous thing, ladies, if your husband will leave you a little note saying, I really love you. You're a great wife. And that's it. Or if he gets you one flower, just one, and he actually brings it home and gives it to you and smiles, those are things that we can do. That really, you may think, well, that's certainly not spiritual. Can I tell you what? If you start with small things, those are seeds that will grow. And God will see that. And he'll begin to entrust you with more and more and more in relationships because you value them. You're going to get what you value in life. Don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he'll reap. Amen? And listen, we need to be rooted and grounded in the love of God because you only get what you got. I've got a silver locust tree at home. That thing's about 30 feet tall. And I haven't been able to mow for a while because we haven't had the rain. I must have about 75 or 100 little silver locusts sticking up out in my yard right now. They're all over. And I thought, well, before I mow them all off, I'm going to take one of them and I'll transplant a few of those around. But you know what? I can't because they don't have any roots. They come out of the root. And if you take them off the root, they die. And I'm looking at that and I thought, wait a minute. That's just like the Lord. We're rooted and grounded in the love of God. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will. And he's the vine, we're the branches. I mean, we can't separate ourselves. We have no root in ourselves. We're connected to him. And there's something about the fact that God so wants us to know that in this time so that we can be able to speak, that it's written and we know who wrote it. We understand a relationship with him. We understand his grace. How many of you have got remote controls for your television? Yeah. Have you ever had a time where you got fairly far away from your television, you're trying to click it and it won't work? Yeah. Have you ever had a time where because your loved one is mad because you got the remote, they block it, they put something up and block it? There's things that can block the signal. Did he really do that? Yeah. All right. I got one witness on that. Do you know the further you get away, the less power the signal has? Can I tell you, many Christians, many remote Christians, have gotten so far away, it's hard to catch the signal anymore. And we need to move back close to the Lord. We need to hear what he has to say. His promise needs to be alive. Listen, there's too many people that know the word of God, but don't know the God of the word. And we need to get back close, get connected, and find what true doctrine is of a relationship with the Lord that's so real. The Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy and says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Good doctrine is simply teaching the word of God, teaching us a way to live out life and love. And it'll help us to come to the point that we can really begin to find sound doctrine and not be able to follow our own lust, be able to see the love that God wants to have. We can come to a point that we really know what it is, not just to come to church and have a spiritual snack, but get a real meal and get the real deal. You can't get it all here, but you get the hunger in your heart and you begin to feed on the word. How many of you have ever eaten a meal and say, boy, that's a meal that'll really stick to your ribs? Have you said that? Yeah. I think the Lord would like for us to have some of those meals, but at times you have to serve yourself. It comes to the point that we would be able to say God's grace is there to help us. Now in 2 Corinthians 11:3 it says, I fear that by any means, as the devil deceived Eve, so he would corrupt us from the simplicity of Jesus Christ. I pray the Holy Spirit can help us again to see how the Lord's calling us to come close, to be able to be there so when the signal's given, whenever we send out a signal, we're so close to the one that's our Savior that we can hear what he has to say and then the courage to obey. When we understand God's grace and goodness and mercy, he can help us in everything that we go through. We remember that Eve looked at things that looked good and it all sounded good, but it ended up being bad. God, by the power of the Spirit, tells us that Satan will come as an angel of light. And he'll deceive everybody he can. There's a counterfeit doctrine. There's counterfeit communion. There's counterfeit spirituality. There's a counterfeit gospel. But God comes to give us the real deal, the real thing. And I pray, Holy Spirit, come and help us as a church to understand and to hear and have the courage to obey what you would say in that way. But there's a process of how deception works. That process comes about when we have a desire. But it's a legitimate desire, but we want to get something that's illegitimate. Now, a desire for food is good. I had a desire for food when I got up this morning. Matter of fact, I got up this morning and I fixed myself Canadian bacon, eggs, and toast. And I want to tell you, that desire was good and I satisfied it. But gluttony is a wrong desire. We can go too far. Sleep is a good desire. But being in bed all the time and being lazy, that's not a good desire. But desire can lead to deception. How many of you are fishermen? All right? How many of you just go out and you go fishing and you just throw a bare hook out in the water and hope to catch something? Is that the way it works? No, you put some bait on there. You put some good juicy worms on there, and pretty soon the fish come along. They don't see the hook. They just see the food. And they bite. They don't realize the hook that's there. May I say there's so many people today that sat in church that got hooks in their heart, and they just saw what was good, and they bit into something they thought would be good for them, and ended up putting a hook in their heart they can't get out, and every time they try to deal with it, every time they try to talk to somebody about their temper, every time they try to talk about their trouble, that hook gets set deeper. And so we learn to live with our hurts and never get the healing that God wants. We learn to be Christians that are good actors. We're looking good, but feeling bad. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, says, I want to come. I want to melt that hook. I want to be able to weld it and put something together so your life stands strong in the Spirit. You no longer just sit there looking good, but that you can let something good happen in your heart that brings healing and wholeness. But see, that desire comes to a point that will bring deception in our life, and then we have to move on to the point of disobedience. Because once you're deceived, if you knew you're deceived, you wouldn't be deceived. But that deception brings you to disobedience. And disobedience has babies. It's something that just continues to grow. And all of a sudden, we lose the concept that God will complete the good work that he's begun in our hearts. And when really we find disobedience brings forth death, it brings that deception. Now, when I say all those things, I want to say the most powerful thing about that is the church. People like you and I, we can see. We can have revelation, not just reasoning like the world has today. And I'm going to hit on this hard for the next few weeks about what it is to take the solutions that God gives us in Scripture to be able to deal with all the situations of deception that we see in the world today. Because you can look at deceptions and all of a sudden you're overcome by the darkness. But all darkness is the absence of light. And God wants to be able to say, let there be light in our heart, in our homes. He wants to be able to bring that love and penetrate as only he can do by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you the background of another time in the history of our nation and see if you can identify something that happened then that could happen now. It's going back to 1904, and it was a poor, struggling mining community. Drunkenness, profanity, nudity, crime, every kind of moral impurity that you can imagine. And it was not even safe for the women to walk down on the sidewalks of the streets at night. The church was largely ignored. It wasn't important. A few believers were there, but they were distraught and discouraged. All they could talk about was the fact of how bad things are and how sad things are. But God did not choose to use any of the leadership that was there for a great awakening that he was about to bring. There was great men like G. Campbell Morgan, F.B. Myers, Gypsy Smith, and many other great men of God, great preachers. There started prayer groups, and people began to pray. And over 2,000 prayer groups formed in Wales. In a community of 1,500,000, there sprung up 2,000 prayer groups, some of them just small, some larger. But people began to realize that it was not going to be my might or power of man. It was not going to be a political solution. There was going to be the power of prayer. And it began to move upon the hearts of the people. And they began to press in. And out of that, there was a young man named Evan Roberts. He worked in a coal mine. He's 12 years old. And he worked 12 hours a day. And while his young peers would consume their breaks with swearing, smoking, drinking, and cursing and chewing, he would distance himself a stone's throw away. And there he would pray. And he would ask God to undertake and God to bring healing upon the nation. For 13 years, this young man prayed. And his greatest prayer was, God, bend me. God, bend me. God, bend me. And God began to bend him in such a way that God was able to pour out his love. And it brought forth a revival there. And God began to pour out of his Spirit in such a magnificent way. And people began to be touched and moved upon, and the Spirit of God began to fall upon the hearts and the lives of people in the church. He said he desired to go and to preach in the church, and nobody let him preach because they thought he was just some wild young guy that didn't know what he was doing. And then one pastor said, I'll let you preach, after the Wednesday night service, if anybody wants to stay. 12 people stayed, and the rest was history. He preached, and the Spirit of God fell on those 12. And it wasn't long till the church was so packed they couldn't hold the people. And God began to pour out of His Spirit. Over 150,000 people come to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through that great revival. That began to spread. It spread all around that portion of the world and then come across the United States. It was one of the greatest revivals we've ever seen. It emptied out the theaters. It caused the policemen not to have anything to do, so they formed quartets and began to go around and sing at churches because they didn't have any crime. God began to move in a marvelous way because all of a sudden the hearts of men were enlightened. The good was seen in man rather than the garbage. And all of a sudden we see what God can do by the power of the Holy Spirit in one young person that would really realize to yield himself and pray. It's like a Daniel in the Old Testament when the Lord said, "I've come for your words." And He changes the heart and the nation at that time. I want to tell you, God can raise up a person in this church, in this community. He can raise you up to be a person that prays and makes a difference. And I want to ask in the days that lay ahead, and especially as we see our nation, I believe at an absolute crossroad, as we see what's happening in the Middle East, at an absolute crossroad for Israel, the first chosen channel that God used to let us know of His love. As we see all these crossroads, there's a cross that we're to bear as the people of God. And that cross is calling us to pray and to see what God has to say. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know how to pray a long time. I don't know what to say." Listen, St. Francis of Assisi would stand and just cry out, "Oh, God, oh, God." This young man would stand and cry out, "Bend me, bend me." I think we're so caught up with how we communicate and what we say, we forget the God to whom we pray. He's the one that makes all the difference. Amen, church. We'll say, "Pastor, you don't have to get that wound up." I know, but I do. I wish there's a way that the Holy Spirit could just come to each one of us and just get right there and just look us in the eye and tell us, "Ben, you're the most important person right now because your prayer is something I'm going to take and I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to take a hold of what you've said, those words. I'm going to build something with your words." And just let that begin to grow. That there's something He's going to say, Scott, that He's going to say something to you. He's going to say something to you, Connie, that there's something that comes alive in you. And listen, no preacher's going to do it. We've got a lot of good preachers in the world today. It's not going to happen with preachers. And listen, I get concerned sometimes when people say, "Pastor, that was really a good sermon today." And other times I go home and I say, "Lord, I'm sorry today. I apologize. I don't think I got it all said." See, I know the limitations of what it is. I know why Paul said about the foolishness of preaching. Because unless the Spirit of God takes a hold of our heart individually and does something in us, preaching will soon pass. It's not the preaching. It's the reaching power of the Holy Spirit from every human heart that will cry out and begin to seek the Lord. And it's not just, you just begin to go down the road and, "Lord, I cry out for you. Bend me." Keep your eyes open when you pray, okay, when you're driving. Keep your eyes open, but pray. Talk to God. Begin to practice His presence. I think we're going to find an amazing awakening going to happen because God still loves America. If you were to take America off the map, out of the nations of the world today, this would be a very dark world. With all of its faults and all of its failures, thank God for America. But we need to pray for our nation. And we need to pray and let it start in us. We need to humble our heart before the living God. God does nothing until we humble ourselves. But then He'll hear and He'll answer our prayer. I pray, God, help us. And I've given you in your bulletin a little outline about prayer and the Lord's Prayer and the names of the Lord and the things you can pray for. And I'd like you to take that and each day take a time to pray. It's friendship time, a prayer guide to help you talk with the Lord so that you can just be able to have some guideline to be able to let His grace flow in your heart. But can I ask you to do this? Focus on the God that you're praying to before you pray. Because sometimes I just start talking. And I just take a moment. It just takes a moment. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Lord, I clear my mind right now. And Lord God, I'm so aware of your presence. Now, Lord, I'm going to come according to you for what you'll do. And I want to say to any of you here today, if you're not walking with the Lord, if there's ever a time that you want to be connected to what Christ is doing and a time to know him, it's in this day and this hour. And I want to ask you, if you're here today and you've never received Christ, I want to ask you to do that today. I want you to know the power of the Holy Spirit. But dear church, I'm asking that all of us begin to press in and pray and see what God will do. Listen, this is the protection from any deception, what is written in this word. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Father, I thank you for the love of God. I thank you for the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for what you'll do by your love, your grace, your mercy. And I ask now that you just touch our lives in a special way this day. And Holy Spirit of God, protect and direct our steps. Lord, we don't want to just be protected from deception. We want to be able to bring forth the promise, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that gives clear direction to every heart, every life. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Thank you for what you'll do. And, Lord, if there's any heart here today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, or that they've strayed away, I pray this will be the very day they'll come back to you. I pray, ask, and believe for that in Jesus' name. I want to ask if you're here today and you need the Lord as your Savior. You need to come back to the Lord. Would you slip your hand up right where you're seated? I'll just take a moment to pray with you. I don't want to embarrass you or put you on the spot, but I want you to know God will look upon your heart. And if we're not ashamed of him, he'll not be ashamed of us. So it's just a point of recognition. If that's a need, just slip your hand up. We'll just acknowledge that. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Lord. Father, I thank you for the power of your love, for your grace, your mercy. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll bless every heart here today. And God, that the passion of your person will grow in us. I pray, Lord God, that we would be a people that become people of significance in this day and hour. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would raise us up to be the church that hell cannot prevail against. I pray, God, that you would raise this church up to be one that would be a pillar that can stand and help this nation turn their heart back to you. God, in all the confusion and the mix of what's in the world today, I thank you for the good news of the gospel. I thank you for the power of your love. And I thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord that's our strength. We'll give you praise, thanksgiving in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand with me, please? I hope you can be with us for our evening service. Men, please get signed up for our Man of God meeting. All of that's available there. And God bless you. I love you. Would you hug about 70 people as we go on our way this morning and rejoicing in God's goodness and grace? God bless you. 'Cause our God is